Thank you, Pastor Dave. And always a privilege to be back home in Powassan. Many fond memories growing up here. And this was where I came to know the Lord, in the Wesleyan Church, the old church, of course. But my relatives are still here, the younger ones. And thank you, Dave, for allowing me the privilege of giving you a break. I bring greetings from the district superintendent, Pastor Eric Hallett. We meet once a week and have been praying for this church and for other churches, and pray for him as he travels about the district to minister to pastors and congregations as well. Helen? Yeah. Helen Elliott. Okay. Yes, remember to pray for Steve Elliott. He's our general superintendent. And his wife, I went to youth camp with him at Silver Lake, and his wife, Helen, has had a stroke a week ago. So we'll remember to pray for Helen Elliott. They're a wonderful couple. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'm going to read chapter 8 from the NIV edition. And if you have your bulletin, I sent the message outline to Gloria, and Gloria ran it, or somebody ran it off for me, maybe Pastor Dave.
I did.
Yeah, there you go. And if you like to follow along, the answers are at the back. I just happen to use an outline when I preach. And it's good to see, Daryl, that a Bradley is doing the bulletin. And Daryl's a relative. All right, shall we pray? And now, O Lord, I ask that our minds might be receptive to your holy word and our hearts might be responsive to your Holy Spirit. For we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Do not forget the Lord. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a new land and a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks and iron are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength, the strength of my hands, have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. The word of the Lord. So this is the season of Thanksgiving, and I don't think Thanksgiving should simply be a one-day event. We need to be thankful all the time. So we are in the season of Thanksgiving, and so this is a Thanksgiving-type message, and then next week, Pastor Dave will bring another Thanksgiving message, and we'll all be thankful after it's over. Not your sermon, the season. Yeah, me worry for a minute. Yeah. Isn't it good we pastors can laugh together and care and love one another? Thanksgiving is a special time of year, isn't it? You can feel anticipation in society as they prepare for this day, or can you? However, Thanksgiving is not high on many people's lists. I went into the dollar store to buy our daughters some visual aids for Thanksgiving for their classrooms. They're both teachers. And do you know, I couldn't find one. All I saw was Halloween. Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. And I thought, this is really sad. I couldn't even find a paper turkey that I... And I thought, my goodness, we're skipping over Thanksgiving. But some people say, what do I have to be thankful for? They ask. Granted, the pilgrims had reasons to offer thanks and to God, but not in this dog-eat, selfish world. No, Pastor, you Christians do your thanking, but for me, get real. This is an attitude that pervades many hearts in our world today. Author David Fedes put it this way: for many of us, Thanksgiving doesn't come easily or naturally. It doesn't seem obvious why we should be saying thank you to God. Some of us, whether we admit it or not, are like Bart Simpson. In one episode of The Simpsons, Bart sits down with his family to a meal, and when it's his turn to pray and give thanks, he says something to this effect: Lord, my dad earned the money to pay for this food, my mom worked for hours to cook it, and what did you do? Thanks for nothing. And that's one reason we never allowed our daughters to watch that horrible little character on TV, even if it was a cartoon, while growing up. Bart is only a cartoon character, but he says a lot about people that are tempted to think, says David Fedes, what should I be thankful for? How sad. But that is a way of thinking today for some people. Many people have no feeling of Thanksgiving. I read of a man in Asia who was caught in a terrible storm. He promised God a sacrifice of 20 oxen if he survived the storm. As the storm quieted, the thought, why be foolish to give an oxen? Why not nuts instead? On the way to the offer of the nuts, he became hungry and ate them. He ended up offering empty shells for his sacrifice. Empty lives, empty promises seem to go hand in hand. Some people do not feel what we feel on this day. Thanksgiving evades them. Even the biblical writers found it necessary to issue a corrective for ingratitude. The children of Israel were called to remember to think about what God had done for them. Now, as you remember, the children of Israel were quite stubborn. They were whiners, and complainers. The Bible said they even had the rabble that followed them to egg them on for more whining. And they went around and around and around and really could have reached the promised land a lot sooner than they did. As was read in Scripture today, they were called to remember about what God had done for them and to give thanks to God for what he had done. A little girl whose father was a disc jockey, a radio announcer, was invited to a friend's house for dinner. When she arrived, the mother asked the little girl if she would honor them by saying the blessing. It delighted the child. Her father, remember, was a disc jockey, so she cleared her throat, looked at her wristwatch, and said, "This food, friends, is coming to you through the courtesy of Almighty God." It was an announcement, but that is true. Finding the way to Thanksgiving, principle one, for Thanksgiving to take place in our lives, we need to focus on the presence of God. We read in Deuteronomy, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." Isaac Walton said, "God has two dwellings, one in heaven and the other in a meek and thankful heart." We can have thankful hearts when we focus on God and what God has done for us. Note, it is easy to fall into the traps of confusion, depression, and rebellion. And God warns his people against these very things. We need to remember his ways. Deuteronomy 8:2 and 8:8 both use the phrase, "You shall remember me." And this thought is similar to a New Testament phrase, "Renew your mind." We need to know the truth and recall it. We need to renew our minds. Otherwise, our minds can wander into areas that are not where they should be. There are three major things that will help us develop strong Christian lives. First of all, embrace God's good purposes, even in difficult times. Did you notice all the purpose clauses in Deuteronomy 8? In 8 verse 1, "that you may live and multiply." Verse 2, "that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart." Verse 3, "that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone." 16, "that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end." 18, "that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day." Note, beloved, God allows events sometimes to occur in our lives to accomplish a certain purpose. Have you ever wondered that? Why is this happening to me? And I don't mean to be nostalgic, but I have to remember years ago, my aunt was the one that led me to the Lord. I called her Aunt Ermine. She was really a first cousin to my father. But she was a godly woman. And I wasn't Christian more than a month, I guess. And I would think I was 12. And we milked cows by hand, and I went down to the farm every weekend. And this one Saturday morning, there was an abundance of cream. So those of you that grew up on a farm, you know what a cream check meant. Lots of money, or more money. It was good money. And so I learned back then how to milk cows by hand, and how to turn and churn a milk separator, and I was always amazed at how the milk came out one spigot and the cream came out the other, and I thought it was some kind of a miracle. Anyway, we had extra milk, and Aunt Ermine was singing the praises of the Lord all the way down to the cream house. And as we went in, she backed into the cream can, and it spilled all over the floor, all this precious cream. And I thought, I wonder how Christian she's going to be about this. Do you know what she did? She turned around, and with the most beautiful smile, she said, "Well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I thought, she's out of her mind. Because I wasn't deep enough in the things of God to respond as she did. She always, and I have to say, when I came to her funeral, she had a smile on her face. So today, She is enjoying the presence of the Lord with many of the saints from this church and all over that have gone before. She was a thankful woman. Didn't have a lot, but she was grateful. Understand life's experiences. Remember God's hand on you in the past, as well as what He will do for you in the future. Okay? We deepen our intimacy with God by remembering how He has wonderfully worked in our past and has set out beautiful plans for the future if we trust Him. Prayers may not always be answered the way we want, but we need to claim the promise in Romans 8:28, and you all know it, for all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Respond to God's work in your life. Be obedient to Him. We develop strong Christian life by obeying and remembering Him. There's no doubt that God has an end goal in mind when He gives us His commands. And then, principle two, we need to be aware of the needs of others. Not everyone is as fortunate at Thanksgiving as you and I are, and we are, if we are to truly enjoy and experience the joy of this season, we need to remember the needy and the less fortunate. Our thanksgiving will not ring true if we do not. In a recent comic strip, a son asked a father, "Why do we always have turkey on Thanksgiving?" And the father said, "Because it's a tradition." And the son asks, "Well, what's a tradition?" And his brother interrupts to say, "Something we've done and been doing for so long we can't even remember why." Well, that's a danger, isn't it? That we will forget what Thanksgiving is all about. And I noticed that you give to the needy. The garden out here is a wonderful example of providing for the food bank with produce. And you are a church that thinks of other people, which is important. When we give thanks, we're reminded of our responsibility to others. That's why people open their hearts at this time of year to give to the homeless and to families who do not have the bounty that most of us enjoy. Oh, not everyone gets caught up in the spirit of giving. I realize that. Christians remind me of that humorous scene in the movie Sister Act, in which Mother Superior is approached by a priest or by the bishop about asking if she would keep a showgirl, played by Whoopi Goldberg, in the convent for safekeeping. The Mother Superior looked at Whoopi Goldberg, and seeing her reluctance, the bishop says, "Sister, you made a vow of hospitality to help the needy," to which the Mother Superior replies, "I lied." We need to remember that the only hands God has is our hands. So are you willing to let your hands be used for Him? There's a wonderful old hymn, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them be instruments beautiful for Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold." That's why we tithe, and there is blessing in tithing. It's hard to learn to tithe, but we start our children early to tithe, and it becomes a habit. And it's a good habit because it furthers the Lord's work. Maya Angelou, America's autobiographer and poet, has been called America's most visible black female autobiographer. Once said, "Giving liberates the soul of the believer." Not beautiful. We don't help others so that they might be saved, but we might be saved from the greed and the insensitivity that captures the soul of the ungrateful. Thanksgiving takes place when we focus on God and share with the needy. Principle three is thanksgiving takes place when we yield our hearts to God, when we give our hearts to the Lord. He transforms us into a people of generosity if we allow Him to. Dr. Tom Long attended a rather wealthy Presbyterian in Nassau, Presbyterian Church. The church is full each Sunday of people with great financial wealth and capabilities. Their church takes an offering every month for the cause of world hunger. They invite worshipers to bring their gifts to the chancel. One Sunday, as they got to this part of the service, an older, oddly dressed homeless woman came forward. She knew, too, they were taking this offering for people just like her. In fact, some of the people feared she might help herself to some of the gifts as she approached the altar. They watched as she drew near. Then she fell on her knees, clasped her hands in prayer. She prayed intensely, rose, and went back to her seat. There were few dry eyes in the congregation that day. Why? Because they had experienced an offering like they had never seen before. They had experienced a real thanksgiving of someone giving themselves to Jesus and his work. The woman might have been poor, but she knew the kind of thanksgiving offering that really matters, yielding her heart to the Lord. So the question this morning is, have you yielded your heart to Jesus? Have you yielded your life to the Lord completely? And when you do, and for me to become a pastor, it was not an easy birth, because I remember being at Silver Lake Camp, and when I was 16, feeling the tug of the Holy Spirit on my heart to become a pastor, and I looked around at some of the pastors and thought, they drive rusty cars, they wear ratty-tatty clothes, and I don't want to be one of them. That was the worldly side of me. And you know what? I've become one of those ratty-tatty clothes pastors by times, and I try to keep the rust off my car. But, you know, when you yield yourself to Christ and sell out to him completely, he blesses you. He blesses you and blesses you because you are following him. Finally, I yielded and became a pastor after I was teaching school for some time, and I felt the call of God again. And one of the teachers came up in the hall. She looked like June Cleaver. Her name was Mrs. Dow. And she said, Jack, I was the vice principal there. And she said, have you ever thought of being a pastor? And I thought, oh, why would she say that? And of course, I was wrestling with this, you know. And I said, well, actually, Marilyn, I have. And so I thought, well, I'm going to test the Lord in this. And I went home, and my wife and I have a practice. We have a pot of tea every night after supper. And is that time for me to stop? I thought a little cane would come out and pull me off. Oh, okay. Anyway, I thought I'll ask my wife. Maybe that was my wife calling. I'll ask my wife if I should entertain the thought of becoming a pastor. And I thought, no, she grew up in a pastor's home. She'll say no, and that'll be the end of that. Well, I said to her, honey, I've been thinking of becoming a pastor. What do you think about it? And she says, well, it's about time. You've been running from a call. And I thought, isn't the answer I wanted? However, you are my God-given lovely wife, and God is speaking through you. So when we are committed and we decide we're going to follow the Lord, he does wonderful things for us. Expressing authentic gratitude for people and to people, whether for qualities they possess or things they have done, generates more of the same in them and in others. For the Christian, this is an imperative of who we say we are. Finally, what can we remember this Thanksgiving season? Real Thanksgiving takes place when we focus on the Lord, on God. Real Thanksgiving takes place when we share with the needy. Real Thanksgiving takes place when we yield our hearts to the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we are grateful today for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, you have blessed the Powassan Wesleyan Church for years and years. Saints have come and saints have gone and have been taken to their eternal reward. I pray a blessing upon this congregation, upon Pastor Dave, as he leads. He is a blessing to this church, and this church is a blessing to this community. And so we pray that that would continue. And Father, as we yield ourselves to you, we pray, Father, that you would lead us, direct us, and guide us. We give you praise, adoration, and glory, and we ask that you would be pleased to dwell in our lives and then channel through us to others. May we be truly thankful and yielded to you this Thanksgiving. This we ask in Christ's name, for you have taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we close today, I'm going to ask the worship team to come and just sing a very short song of invitation. If there would be someone that would like to say, Pastor Jack, I would like to rededicate my life to the Lord. I would like to yield myself, and I want to give praise to him. And we won't tarry, but thank you.